You know how it is, seems like every other day there's a new headline, right? Data breach, hack, some big digital security
It
mess.
really does feel like a constant stream.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming, but sometimes it's not just that something happened, but the fascinating details of how an attack actually unfolds. That's what helps us connect the dots, you know, understand the bigger picture. So today we're putting on our digital detective hats. We're doing a deep dive into that recent PagerDuty security incident.
Yes, that one.
It's a really compelling case because it hit customer data, but not through a direct hit on their main platform. It was actually via a compromised Salesforce account.
And that right there illustrates just how interconnected everything is now, these
Yeah,
digital ecosystems.
exactly.
And that's really our mission today, isn't it? To take you behind those headlines. What's truly fascinating here is how one, seemingly contained vulnerability in one spot can just ripple.
Ripple through everything.
Yeah, ripple through entire systems, creates this cascade effect. So we're going to distill the really important nuggets of knowledge from the sources we've looked at, give you a shortcut, basically, to being well informed on this. We'll uncover some maybe surprising facts and definitely give you practical takeaways, help you understand these complex, often invisible threads linking modern software, and importantly, the real-world impact of these third-party vulnerabilities.
What really grabs me about this specific incident is how it all started to unfold. Picture this. It's late August 2025. PagerDuty, you know, just doing its thing.
Business as usual.
Right. But then August 20th, this critical call comes in, and it's not from their own internal alarms going off.
No.
No, it's from an external partner, Sealsloft. It's kind of like your neighbor spotting smoke from your chimney before you even smell it inside your own house.
That's a great analogy. And a bit worrying if you're PagerDuty, I imagine.
Right. Salesloft had found a security concern, but it was hidden deep within another application. They both used Drift. That detail alone is surprising, isn't it? That the heads up came from outside.
It absolutely is. It really
Uh-oh.
highlights how quickly these things can escalate. And sometimes, well, your best defense is actually having a strong network, partners who are also watching out.
And things got specific fast. Just 3 days later, August 23rd, Salesloft comes back with more detail.
Okay.
They told PagerDuty that attackers had actually exploited a major flaw, not in PagerDuty itself again, but in Drift's O integration with Salesforce.
Ah, oh, oof.
Right, so this wasn't some random hack. It was targeted, exploiting how these systems PagerDuty relied on were connected.
Okay, if we connect this to the bigger picture, then we really need to talk about OAuth, open authorization.
Right, what exactly is that in simple terms?
So it's a super widely used standard. And the idea, the theory, is that it's a secure way for your apps to talk to each other without you having to share your deepest secrets, like your password. Think of it like giving a valet key to your car.
Ah, okay. I get that.
It lets them park it, right?
Yeah.
But critically, it doesn't let them open your glove box or, drive off with the car forever. It's supposed to be limited access.
So it lets one app access your data in another app, but without needing your actual password for that second app.
Precisely. It's meant to be a secure handshake between services. But, and this is the key thing this incident shows, when that handshake or the implementation of that OAuth flow is flawed, well, it can accidentally create an unexpected pathway for attackers.
So the standard itself isn't broken, but how it was used.
Exactly. In this specific case, the flaw wasn't in the core OAuth standard, it was in how Drift had implemented its OAuth connection with Salesforce. So the attack was aimed at PagerDuty's Salesforce account. And by exploiting this dodgy OAuth flow through Drift, attackers basically found a backdoor.
A backdoor into Salesforce using Drift as the way in.
Yep, going back to our valet analogy, it was like the valet service accidentally left a master key to the whole garage under the mat. A key that was supposed to only give them specific permissions. But because of a flaw, it also happened to unlock the specific bay where PagerDuty's Salesforce data was parked. The flaw wasn't in the car keys themselves, but in how the valet system interacted with the garage's master access system.
That's a really critical distinction. And what's maybe even more crucial, and I think this will be a relief to a lot of people listening, PagerDuty confirmed that no direct PagerDuty credentials, you know, usernames or passwords for PagerDuty itself were compromised here.
That's absolutely correct. And a really vital point for you listening. Your main PagerDuty login was secure.
So it wasn't like a brute force attack trying to guess passwords on their main system.
Not at all. The attack vector was specifically through that OAuth integration vulnerability. That allowed access to Salesforce data, not PagerDuty's core authentication systems. It just underscores how attackers are always, always looking for the weakest link in the chain.
And often that chain involves these third-party connections.
Absolutely.
So, okay, once that critical alert came in from SalesLoft and they understood the threat, the clock's ticking. What did PagerDuty do immediately? How did they respond right then?
Well, PagerDuty moved really quickly, which is good to see. Following SalesLoft's recommendation, on August 27th, so just a few days after getting that detailed info, they took pretty swift, decisive action.
Like what?
They disabled SalesLoft Drift's access to their Salesforce data. Just cut it off.
Okay, like immediately revoking that valet key.
Exactly. Oh. And at the same time, they launched a full, thorough investigation to figure out the scope, you know, what exactly happened and what data, if any, might have been accessed.
Okay, so access cut off, investigation launched, that's the immediate fix. But even if no direct passwords were stolen, the question is still there. What kind of data was actually sitting in that Salesforce environment? What information was potentially exposed that, you know, we should be concerned about?
Yeah, good question. So the good news on one front, the investigation so far seemed to confirm this whole thing was essentially kept within PagerDuty's Salesforce environment.
Contained then?
Contained is the word, yes. Which is important because it means there's no evidence attackers got into the main PagerDuty platform itself or their core internal systems or any other critical infrastructure. It was limited to that specific Salesforce account.
Yeah.
However, that Salesforce environment did contain sensitive customer information. And that's the stuff that may have been exposed.
Such as?
Things like customer names, phone numbers, and email addresses. So while it wasn't, you know, a massive system-wide breach, those personal contact details were certainly at risk.
Right. And that brings up a really important question for you, the listener. It might sound like, oh, just a name and email. Maybe not as bad as a stolen password. But why should you actually be concerned if your name and email address get exposed like this? What can bad actors really do with that?
That's a crucial point because just a name and email can actually be surprisingly valuable to an attacker.
Yeah.
The main concern, the primary risk for you, the individual, is a big increase in the risk of phishing and social engineering attacks.
The trickery.
Exactly. That's basically when attackers try to trick people into giving up more sensitive information or clicking malicious links or taking actions they shouldn't, often by pretending to be someone trustworthy.
It's almost like the digital version of a pickpocket, isn't it? They don't need your bank vault key right away, just enough info to swipe your wallet without you noticing.
That's a perfect way to put it. Attackers use that stolen contact info, your name, your email, to craft these incredibly convincing, highly targeted phishing emails or fraudulent phone calls.
Right, because it looks more real if it uses your actual name.
Precisely. They can make these communications look totally legitimate because they have those details. It makes it much harder for you to spot a fake. We've all seen those awful, obvious phishing emails with terrible grammar.
Oh, yeah.
But imagine one that uses your correct name, maybe references a service you actually use, like PagerDuty, and seems to come from a legit source address. That's much harder to just ignore or dismiss.
Okay, so knowing that risk is higher, what is PagerDuty actually doing to help customers prepare for that? Are they giving any specific warnings?
Yeah, they've been very proactive here. They're emphasizing a really key protective measure for you, the customer. PagerDuty says they will never contact customers by phone to ask for passwords or other sensitive security information.
And never by phone for passwords. Got it.
Right. All their legitimate communication will come through established, recognized support channels, usually email from official addresses or through their platform. So if you get a call claiming to be PagerDuty asking for your password, that's your immediate giant red flag.
That's really important advice to just file away. Okay, so beyond the immediate fix-cutting access and that customer guidance, how is PagerDuty addressing this more broadly? Their response seems quite transparent, collaborative.
Hmm.
But if we're being truly critical here, what about the fact that they didn't spot this themselves initially? Does that maybe point to a blind spot, even for a company focused on reliability and security?
That's a fair and, I think, important question. It definitely highlights a challenge that tons of organizations face today. While PagerDuty's response after they were alerted seems pretty robust, you know, good incident management, the fact that the initial detection came from a third party, from SalesLoft, does underscore just how complex and interwoven these modern tech stacks are.
Right.
Even the most security-conscious companies can have vulnerabilities creep in through their third-party integrations.
Yeah.
Why? Because fundamentally, They can't control every single aspect of every vendor's security posture. It's just not possible.
It's like you can lock down your own house perfectly, but if your neighbor leaves their back door wide open, your whole block is still kind of at risk, isn't it?
Precisely. Yeah. That's a great way to think about it. Now, PagerDuty's handling after discovery does reflect, I think, a dedication to openness and strong security practices. Beyond just deactivating the integration, they immediately kicked off that thorough investigation. And critically, they're working closely with multiple security partners.
Who are they working with?
SalesLoft, obviously, Salesforce themselves, and also the Google Threat Intelligence Group.
Okay, big players.
Yeah, and this collaborative approach is vital. It ensures that the lessons learned from this specific incident can actually benefit the wider tech community, not just PagerDuty. Because honestly, it's a shared battle. Everyone's dealing with similar risks.
Mm-hmm.
And internally, they're also doing a thorough review of their own security controls and specifically strengthening their processes around OAuth integrations to prevent this kind of thing in the future, essentially patching that master key vulnerability we talked about.
Okay, so this incident, it's clearly not just a one-off event for PagerDuty. It feels like a stark mirror reflecting these bigger trends in cybersecurity. Beyond PagerDuty's own response, what are the sort of universal lessons here? What should organizations in any industry be taking away from this kind of third-party attack?
Yeah, this incident really highlights several absolutely critical trends. First, that attack vector exploiting OAuth integration vulnerabilities that represents a really growing area of concern.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. Businesses rely more and more on these interconnected software ecosystems. The average company uses dozens, sometimes hundreds, of different SaaS applications.
Right, everything's connected to everything else.
Exactly. And each one of those integrations becomes a potential entry point for attackers. But what's truly significant here, and maybe a bit scary, is what we call the cascade effect.
That sounds ominous.
It can be. Think of it like a digital domino effect.
Yeah.
A single weak point in one vendor system, maybe an app you barely even think about, can trigger this chain reaction. It can compromise seemingly unrelated systems across your entire supply chain.
Wow. Can you give an example?
Well, there was that famous case a while back where a compromised smart coffee machine in a major retailer apparently gave hackers access to their payment systems globally.
A coffee machine.
Yep. The PagerDuty incident is another example, right? Mm-hmm. A flaw in Drift's OAuth integration with Salesforce ends up affecting PagerDuty. It just hammers home the need for organizations to evaluate not just their own security posture, but also the security practices of all their technology partners and vendors.
All of them.
It's a fundamental shift in thinking. Security isn't just about your own walls anymore. It's a shared ecosystem-wide responsibility.
That sounds almost impossible, though, especially for like a small and medium-sized business. How can they realistically audit every single vendor they use? Or is this just a problem the tech giants with huge resources can tackle?
That's a really legitimate challenge. You're absolutely right. It's not always feasible, especially for smaller teams, to do deep technical audits on every single vendor, no question.
So what then?
Well, it means focusing maybe more on risk assessment, doing proper due diligence when you first select a vendor, asking those critical questions about their security certifications, what their incident response plan looks like, and, crucially, limiting the data access you grant them in the first place.
Ah, that comes back to permissions.
Exactly. The principle of least privilege, which we should definitely dig into more, becomes even more critical in these interconnected scenarios. And beyond vendor management, this incident really underscores the importance of having robust, well-practiced incident response procedures yourself and clear communication protocols. PagerDuty's prompt disclosure and their ongoing updates, well, they serve as a pretty good model for clear, transparent communication during a security event. That builds trust, even when something bad has happened.
Okay, so pulling all of this together then, what does this whole PagerDuty incident really mean? For any organization listening, or even just for you managing your own digital life day to day, what are the crucial, actionable steps? The key lessons for prevention and protection?
Right, let's make it concrete. For organizations, the first, maybe foremost, preventative measure has to be regularly review and audit your third-party integrations.
Don't just set them up and forget about them.
Exactly. Especially those OAuth connections and any other authorization mechanisms. They need to be regularly assessed for vulnerabilities, actively monitored, not just a one-time check.
So if you connected, say, 20 different apps to your company's Salesforce instance years ago, you should actually go back and check what permissions each one still has.
Absolutely. Think of it like digital spring cleaning for all those connections you've made. The second crucial step tied into that is implementing the principle of least privilege.
Least privilege. Explain that simply.
It just means ensuring that any third-party application only have access to the absolute minimum amount of data it needs to do its job. Nothing more.
Right, like giving your mailman access only to your mailbox, not the keys to your entire house.
Perfect analogy. Why give an application more power than it absolutely needs? Every unnecessary permission you grant is basically a potential backdoor just waiting for someone to kick it in. Mm-hmm. So this raises an important question for every listening, really. Do your apps, the ones you use personally or at work, really need all the permissions you've maybe clicked yes to over the years? Or can you significantly reduce that access?
Good question to ask ourselves.
And finally, for organizations, again, having those clear, well-rehearsed incident response procedures and communication plans, it's just non-negotiable. It enables a quick, effective response when, not if, but when, security incidents inevitably occur.
Okay, and for you, the listener right now, these principles, they translate into your own personal security superpower. Just being vigilant.
Vigilance.
You should remain incredibly vigilant for any suspicious communications. Be extra cautious about unexpected emails or phone calls claiming to be from PagerDuty or, frankly, any service, especially if they ask for info. We've talked about how good these phishing attempts can get when they have some of your real data.
Yeah, they can be convincing.
So always, always verify the authenticity. If you get a security-related email or call, go through official channels. Don't just click the link in the email or trust the caller ID. Go directly to the company's official website yourself or use their official support portal. Don't use the links or phone numbers provided in the suspicious message.
Good advice.
And of course, monitor your accounts, bank accounts, email accounts, everything for any unusual activity. If something feels off, trust your gut and investigate it. You know, this deep dive into the PagerDuty breach, it really uncovers the sophistication of these oath exploits now.
Yeah, they're getting clever.
And the deeply interconnected, often hidden nature of our digital vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the absolute importance of both organizational diligence doing that homework and our own individual vigilance. It's just a powerful reminder, isn't it, that security is never really a static destination you arrive at. It's a continuous journey, always evolving.
Indeed. And maybe in this increasingly interconnected digital world we live in, the most critical security measure isn't just about locking your own digital doors tighter.
Oh, what is it then?
It's also about truly understanding who holds the keys to the doors you share with others, those integrations, those vendors, and continuously questioning if those connections are truly necessary, if those permissions granted are truly minimal, and ultimately if those shared keys are genuinely secure.
Wow.
It's really about proactive, ongoing questioning, not just reactive fixing when something inevitably goes wrong.
That is fantastic insight to leave us mulling over. Thanks so much for joining us on the deep dive today.
My pleasure.
We really hope this has given you a clearer, maybe more engaging picture of what truly goes on behind those often brief digital security headlines. Stay safe out there.